Thank you, Lincoln. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray a minute, folks. Let's pray an hour. Let's pray some. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Pearl, getting a chance to know Pearl, Lord. She was a light around this place, and we thank you for it. And she'd get after us if we didn't do right. Lord, just bless Lincoln and his family, Lord God. This anniversary of someone's death is always a little difficult. And Lord, we ask that this prayer just goes to Lincoln and Tiffany and Josh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, open the Word of God to us today and let us hear from you. Lord, minister to our hearts, to our minds, and let us not forget this Word. Lord God, we bind Satan from robbing it from us. Tomorrow we'll know it. Wednesday we'll know it. Friday we'll know it. Thank you, Lord, for this. And we give you all the glory, all the praise for everything you do. In Jesus' name, speak through me, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yes. What's going on here?
I threw the Bible open and I looked down. And Isaiah 44:22, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud.
Hallelujah.
And your sins like a heavy mist.
Mm.
Return to me.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. That might have been that word I was looking for earlier. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope after last week's message, everybody's been cognizant of spiritual warfare this week and maybe better prepared to wage war against the enemy. Amen. Y'all know we got an enemy. I know the ladies have been focused on prayer during their meetings, and of course, prayer is one of the most effective ways to war against Satan. Prayer. I thank the ladies for their consistency in those efforts, and many thanks to everyone that comes in prayer on Wednesday morning. That is a powerful time to pray. And folks, you will see mountains moved because of the time spent in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
All right, today I want us to consider another topic. I want us to consider the topic of discipleship. Discipleship. Amen? And I want you to turn to Matthew 28, and we're going to start with verse 18 and go to verse 20, and then I'll read verse 19 again. Starting with verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Isn't that great to know?
Yes.
You're Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Whew. That means prayer can move mountains, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now look at verse 19 again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This statement was made to the apostles shortly before Jesus ascended into heaven. And the passage of scripture we just read is commonly called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And Jesus instructs every Christian to accomplish the things that are listed here in the Great Commission. Amen? You with me? And you will notice the emphasis here is on making disciples, Not just making converts, not just making church members, but making disciples. It says, go and make disciples, not to go only and make converts.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. You must first be saved before you become a disciple. No question about that. But just because you are a believer doesn't automatically make you a disciple. Amen?
Right.
All right. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says this. He described a character of a disciple. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And in verse 25, the first part, the front half, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. The word disciple literally means a learner or a student. A learner or a student. Vine's Dictionary of the New Testament Words describes it as one who follows another's teaching. One who follows another's teaching. But the word disciple also implies discipline. Discipline. Obviously, then, we consider a disciple as a learner or a student who follows or adheres to someone's teaching. Amen? And that's why in the early church, the disciples were called Christians, or more literally, imitators of Christ. Imitators of Christ. To be a disciple, then, is to strive to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul said God's goal for redeeming or saving mankind was that they would be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why He also called us heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When we look at the early Christians, we might consider them radicals with a way out form of Christianity. But from their viewpoint, their Christianity was the norm. It was normal, the typical, and not some watered down form of Christianity that we see so often here today. Now, I ask you, are you striving to be a learner or a student of Jesus Christ? Do you strive to be like Him? And if not, are you truly a disciple of His then? I don't believe. How can we expect to fulfill the Great Commission, amen, if we don't have clear understanding of what a disciple is? Let's look at what the Bible reveals this morning. The Bible says a lot of things about being a disciple. And let's look at that and see what God's Word has about certain characteristics of a disciple. So a disciple of Christ is one who abides in Jesus' words. Amen? They read the red. They read the red. According to Strong's Dictionary of Hebrew and Greek, the word here used for abide means to stay. To stay. It could also be translated continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry. To endure, abide, to stay. Amen. Now, this speaks of someone who not only studies the Bible, but also applies it. They live it. They live the Word of God. Then in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we read this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Right.
Amen. So first of all, a disciple is defined as one who loves others. Who loves others, imitating the love of Jesus that Jesus showed us. He said in this verse 34, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. And then secondly, we are to have a love that's visible. He said in verse 35, by this all will know. All will know. Know what? Your love for one another. By what they see. by what they see. Now, understand, a disciple is one who wants to be like his teacher. They want to be like their teacher. So let me ask you, was Jesus willing to sacrifice time and effort for his fellow believers? Of course. Yes, and we should too, if we are to be his disciples. And as disciples, we should make every effort to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And then to help to encourage them and strengthen them as often as we can. Glory, hallelujah. Have them over for a meal or dessert. Oh, no. Oh, no. Did I write that? Fellowship in the home is a lost art today. Should it be a lost art?
No.
No. If you can't fellowship in the home, maybe you can do something else that's fun elsewhere. Amen? Does this sound like you so far? Next, a disciple is one who bears much fruit. It's seen in John chapter 15 and verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And I said it twice. I hope you notice it says much fruit. Much fruit. Jesus not referring to an occasional good deed, but a lifestyle which causes others to recognize that what you're doing and helps them see you're glorifying God. Amen. Saints, you must ask yourself, am I living my life to bless others? Do I live my life in a way that brings attention and glory to God? Or do I live to please self? Do your actions tend to bring you the attention and praise? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, your life is to bring glory to God. Or as John 15:8 puts it, are you bearing fruit for God? Are you bearing fruit? And when someone notices your hard work, do you take the credit? Or do you give the glory and praise to God who's so deserving of it? Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about who will get the glory in your life, either God or Satan. Either God or Satan will get you glory. Amen. And spiritual warfare and in discipleship, we must always live in a way that glorifies God. Amen. Okay, so far we've determined that discipleship requires total commitment from us, especially in regards to the teaching of Jesus, the love for other believers, good works, or bearing fruit for the glory of God. Three things. When we study a little more in the Word of God, we realize that there is a cost for discipleship. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 33, Jesus makes reference to this cost of discipleship. And then in verse 26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't believe Jesus was talking about some intense dislike for your family members or your friends or yourself. He was using a sharp contrast here to make a point. Now listen to this. Your love for God should be so strong that in comparison, your love for others would not even look like love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Most importantly, Jesus must come first. He must come first in your life. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, this man in Scripture basically answered Jesus like this: let me wait until my parents grow old and die so I can bury them. Let me wait until my parents grow old and die and I can bury them. Perhaps the father was close to death and the man wanted to delay following Jesus. Regardless, Jesus was indicating that discipleship requires instant action. Instant action. Jesus would not want anyone to forsake their family responsibilities. That's not who he is. However, this fellow may have wanted to use his father as an excuse. We don't know. But it sounds like that. But can you see how considering other relationships first can conflict with your love and your response for Jesus? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, Jesus addresses this same thought. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Being a disciple of Jesus may cause conflict in your personal life. It may result in discord in your own family or with friends. Folks, that's the way it is. Are you willing to risk conflict in your life to pay the price of discipleship? Then in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 27, the Bible tells us that a disciple must be willing to suffer and even die for Jesus.
What was the scripture again?
Luke 9, 23 through 27. By living godly lives in an ungodly world, you're most assuredly to suffer ridicule and persecution. You're going to suffer. If you do not stand out and seem a little odd to this world, you're probably fitting in a little too well. That's why the Bible declares that you should be in the world, but not of the world. For you to be a disciple, Jesus must not only be the Savior of your eternal soul, but he must also be the Lord of your life in the here and now. What does that mean for us? That Jesus Christ should be in complete control, brothers and sisters. Complete control and have total reign over every area of our life. Every area. I read a little book, just a real simple little book one time that talked about Jesus cleaning house in somebody's soul. And the man that had the soul wouldn't let him in this one closet. And Jesus talked to him, and he finally opened the door to that closet, and Jesus swept it out. And I remember that was probably 50 years ago. That I read that little book, but that one part just stays with me all these years, that Jesus, he'll get in that closet. He'll get in that closet, and that's what's called letting him be Lord of your life. Amen? You don't keep something back. All right. Let me repeat that last statement. Jesus Christ should be in complete control and have total reign over every area of our lives. Now, listen to Luke 14, verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be his disciples. There are many voices today, even in some churches, propose that the answer to all our problems is building our self-esteem. Building our self-esteem. But the Bible seems to suggest just the opposite, doesn't it? It does. How did the Apostle Paul describe himself in Romans 7, 24? O wretched man that I am. Sounds like a bad self-esteem. when you talk like that. Eh? Amen? And what does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2? In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. And that makes me think of the story in Luke 18, 18 of the rich young ruler. Jesus told him to first give all his money to the poor and then come and follow him. The money wasn't the issue. That wasn't the issue. Jesus was aware of this young man's attention or attachment to his wealth. The Bible emphatically states that our God is a jealous God. He's jealous, and he won't share the throne of our heart with anything or anybody. Amen? Brothers and sisters, this high cost of discipleship has turned many away from following Jesus. Understand that Jesus isn't trying to attract large crowds. He sure didn't today. He wants disciples. He wants disciples. Maybe our Lord desires more quality than quantity. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. I once heard a story of a man who got lost in the desert. After wandering around for a long time, his throat became very, very dry. He thought he was going to die. But fortunately, he noticed a little shack in the distance. He made his way over to the shack, and he found a water pump and a small jug of water and a note. The note said, "Pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do this, you'll get all the water you need." Now, the man had a choice to make. If he trusted the note and poured the water in and it worked, he would have all the water he needed, right? If it didn't work, he would still be thirsty, and he might die. Or he could choose to drink the water in the jug and get immediate satisfaction. But it might not be enough, and he still might die. After thinking about it, the man decided to risk it. He poured the entire jug into the pump, and it began to work the handle. At first, nothing happened. He got a little scared. But he kept pumping until water began to flow. So much water came out, he drank all he wanted, took a shower, filled all the containers he could find. Amen. Because he was willing to give up momentary satisfaction. Did you hear me? Momentary satisfaction, this man had all the water he needed. Now, the note also said, "After you have finished, please refill the jug for the next traveler." The man refilled the jug and he added to the note. He said, "Please prime the pump. Believe me, it works. It works." We have the same choice to make. Do we hold on to what we have because we don't believe there are better things in store for us? Do we hold on to those things, folks? Do we settle for immediate satisfaction? Or do we trust God and give up all that we have to get what God has promised us? Amen. I think the choice is obvious. We need to pour in all the water, trusting God with everything. And once we have experienced what God has to offer, the living water, we need to tell other people. So go ahead and prime the pump. Believe me, it works. Amen. Well, folks, will the call to give up our life for Jesus be worth it? Let's consider the rewards of discipleship. The rewards of discipleship. First, there's a promise of future blessings. Romans 5, verse 9 says, "We shall be saved from the wrath to come." I love that verse. We shall be saved from the wrath to come. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, it says, we can look forward with joyful anticipation of an eternity with God, free from sorrow, pain, or death. Amen? Free from those things. Then there are the blessings of today. In John 14, 27, Jesus offers a peace the world cannot give. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from heaven above. Amen. Amen. And in 1 John 4, verses 13 through 18, Jesus offers his followers the abiding love of God, which casts out all fear. Whoo! That's a big one. So far we've discussed the cost of discipleship and the blessings of discipleship, but we must certainly ask, how does one become a disciple? How does one become a disciple? Amen? Allow me to share three vital points. Number one, first and foremost, you have to have an ongoing, thriving relationship with Jesus. Already. Jesus is the central focus for our discipleship. This may seem a little too obvious, but for some it may not be. Now, I'm not just talking about a declaration of faith or the practice of some religious rituals, but rather I'm referring to a love relationship, amen, with your divine Creator. Has Jesus, the Christ, taken up residence in your heart? Have you asked him not only to be your Savior, but to be your Lord, to rule and reign in every area of your life? Folks, he must be preeminent. He must be preeminent in your life. For only when Jesus has the prominent position in your life, he is able to spiritually transform you. It is impossible to transform yourself in your own strength. Amen. It is impossible to transform yourself in your own strength. Only Jesus can spiritually transform the old man into a new man. Right. Amen. And praise God that he does. And that is only possible when we say yes to him. Amen. Yes to him, allowing his divine nature to consume us. In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In this verse, Paul makes it known that there is more in a relationship with God than just acknowledging that he exists. Amen. Amen. Paul is speaking of obedience and sacrifice, giving ourselves to him for his purposes. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, in reference to discipleship, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, taking up your cross is to make God's will your will. I hope you caught that. Taking up your cross is to make God's will your will. Amen? When you lay aside personal goals, desires, ambitions, then God will reveal his goals, his desires, and his ambitions for you. His way is much better than your way. Just a side note, just a rabbit trail. His way is much better than your way. Have you submitted all things to God, or are you still the Lord of your own life? Number two, next, are we students of the Bible? Do we read it regularly and allow him to speak to our hearts when we receive it? Study God's word daily. Pray and ask him to speak to you. Then do you follow up by being obedient to the word you read and the word he speaks? Do you do what you know to do? Saints, knowing what to do is not enough. We can't just talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. I heard that somewhere. It's been said that obedience turns said, S-A-I-D, faith, into real faith. I like that. Obedience turns said faith into real faith. If we are aware of God's will for our lives, but unwilling to follow Him, then we're not His disciples. Are you looking for God's will in your life? And when you know it, are you willing to pursue it? And number three, let me ask you about baptism. Our beginning text this morning in Matthew 28, verse 19, said this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please understand that baptism does nothing to change your standing before Jesus Christ. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. It is symbolic of being born again. The old man is buried under the water, and a new man is born. Amen? I'd really like you to shout hallelujah if that moves your heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you must be baptized to be saved. Nowhere. But there are verses that speak of people being baptized after they believed and were born again. Many verses. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 47, Peter was preaching to some Gentiles and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And these Gentiles began to speak in other tongues. So immediately Peter took them to be baptized. Baptism is the act of submission that follows our salvation experience. It also symbolizes the repentance of sins. You know, I believe this with my heart. There are many, many Christians walking around today, not just in this church, probably some of them are, but churches everywhere that were baptized as infants when they didn't know what was going on. And they've never taken the step to be baptized as an adult when they did know what was going on. Now, if that nails you right in the spirit, we'll baptize you. Brother Joe just bought a new heater for that baptismal. And it won't be like the last one we had. Hallelujah. Eli, you remember that? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says this, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, the Bible always puts a greater emphasis on spiritual baptism than on physical baptism. But both of them are very unique, amen, and life-altering experiences. So have you been baptized into Christ, both physically and spiritually? If not, folks, I really encourage you to do so. Now, please don't think my intent here today is to chastise or condemn anyone. It certainly isn't. Romans 8, verse 1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. My only desire is to encourage you, as Peter did, when he said to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Does anyone remember when you were young and your folks would mark a height on a wall or a growth chart? There would be a visual record of how much you were growing. Maybe it's just me, but I always hoped I was growing. I never was, but I always hoped I was growing. When I was in the ninth grade, I was 4'9" tall. After I was 18, I went to the giant height of 5'7". Giant. compared to my old life. Amen? I don't think boys ever quit growing one way or the other. Physical growth takes time. It takes time. Spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight, folks. You may not be where you want to be in your spiritual growth, but you should be bigger spiritually than you were a year ago. That's how you judge yourself. You look backwards and say, am I better? Is this going better? Am I stronger? Do I love more? Amen. If we fail to follow Jesus as his disciples, we'll be settling for a mediocre Christian life. We'll settle rather than living victorious, full of hope and faith. Don't wander around wishing for a blessing from God. If your focus is simply on the blessing, your spiritual life will wander in all directions looking for something. You'll be up one day and down the next. That's the way it works. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, years ago when they used to plow a field behind a horse, they keep that horse going towards something that didn't move. You didn't want it to move.
A fixed point,
right. You keep your eyes on it and you plow the straight furrow. That's the way we need to be with Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus and our life will be straight, folks. Amen? Amen. God's promised us good things and in his word, and he's the same yesterday. Say it with me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther once said this. I love this. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But for heaven's sake, don't stand still. I'd like to close today by saying give up. Simply give up. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. Listen to Galatians 3:3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?
No.
Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No. Stop trying to live a perfect Christian life. It doesn't work. Just let Jesus live through you. He can do that. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, this is what it says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul writes that the grace of God has appeared to us, appeared through Jesus. Jesus did what we couldn't do for ourselves, and now we can experience grace, God's unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Do you see that, folks? God will supply whatever you lack in order to take you where he wants you to be. Just like Smithton, Missouri, that little bitty church, had everything they needed to have when revival came. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 You may be weak, but God declares this morning that you're strong. So when they say, I can't, God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't say, I can't. Brothers and sisters, trust God. And live in the power of the Spirit and not in the weakness of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Brother Larry and Harold. pass these things out, will you? I don't have a whole lot of them. Machine was messed up. In fact, some of these are printed on both sides. You get an extra measure of it.
No, double dose.
Double dose of it. We're going to repeat this together before we close. I hope I have enough for everyone. If you got one that's printed on both sides, you're just blessed. Everybody get one? Let's stand to our feet, folks. Let's repeat this together. The blank at the top is for your name, not your wife's name or your husband's name. All right. I so-and-so, declare to everyone that on October 20th, 2019, I became a disciple for Jesus Christ. I will hold no other allegiance to any groups, organized religion, or another belief system but the Bible, which is the Word of God. I believe Jesus is my Savior. He died for me. I will conduct my life as a disciple of Jesus according to the Scriptures. I will strive to be like Jesus. I will follow Jesus' teaching. I will operate in love. I will make whatever sacrifice necessary to win the lost. I will bear much fruit through my good works and evangelism. I will bring glory to God. Let all who hear receive my declaration today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can be disciples of yours. Thank you that you gave us enough teaching, Lord God, that we can be disciples. I'm sure when we get to heaven, you have more teaching for us. Hallelujah. We'll put ourselves on the side of that hill, Lord God, and listen to you for hours. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, my prayer that people mean what they just said. These folks right here. Let us become that disciple. When we get down to it, Lord, there's not much else that matters, is there? Turn us into that disciple, Lord Jesus. And we thank you. And Lord, bless everyone that's here today. Bless them today. Give them strength, Lord God. Take the crooked paths and make them straight. Shrink the mountains and raise the valleys, Lord, for each one. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all.